to shout. Got me no reason, and I got no doubt. I'm gonna get myself on the front from this mortal corner of wood. Jesus gonna be here, gonna be here soon. Keep my eyes wide open.
I just love the song. I loved it. I heard it first when I was in college. I just loved it, and I still do love it. It's the Blind Boys of Alabama with Jesus Gonna Be Here. It's from the 2001 album, Spirit of the Century. This is Lead Stories. I'm Beatrice Lead. And, jeez, these days it's you almost have to be prepared that things could change in a flash and change dramatically in a flash, because you don't know where things are going. We just don't know. But in any event, we should talk about what we know so far, or what we think we know so far, and in our own minds, what are we expecting to happen any minute now? What are we expecting to happen? So I think we'll go with that and see where it takes us. I do know one thing. I don't know anybody who feels good about where things are right now. I think people are very, very upset. And more than that, they just don't know where things are going. They're not sure where they should be going. They don't like what they're seeing. And it's a very, very uncertain time. And I think that is one of the biggest factors in how nations fall apart. The uncertainty is in the not only what is going on, but the uncertainty transfers to the self. You know, you begin to doubt yourself because you don't know what you should believe in anymore. The things that you used to believe in no longer seem to have value. A whole different set of rules now applies, and you're confused because the things that you were taught to hold dear, people laugh at you when you start, you know, talking about these values, which were, they're nowhere to be found, and they're useless. Nobody adheres to them anymore. And they just create, they help to create in a society like ours. The more pervasive this attitude gets, the more we start doubting ourselves. We start believing in nothing. And I actually was conscious of this when, and I think it was last week, people were talking about things that, you know, do people believe these things anymore? Do you believe in honor? Do you believe in justice? Do you believe in honesty? What do you believe in anymore? Because everybody has parted ways with the things we used to believe in. And right now, you're not sure whether people believe in anything anymore. So it's, everything is very temporary. Everything is very hazy. Nothing is set. Nothing is set deep within us anymore. And it's okay to not believe, or it's okay to be extremely shifty, because that's the way everybody has become. You cannot even dare think that you share certain belief systems with other people in your society anymore. It's a very terrifying place to be. And in the United States, we are not thinking about that. People are going through changes very quietly, but they're terrified. They're not saying what their fears are. But they feel fear, no question about it. So we are making things up as we go. And this is the one thing that I think Donald Trump signifies. A society in such flux. Everything is in transition. Nothing is fixed. You can't believe what he says. The president of the country. You cannot believe what he says. And even though he's lying to your face, he has absolutely convinced himself that this is what the country needs right now. He needs this flexibility. He justifies dishonesty. He justifies the lies. He justifies the temporary nature of everything. So when you are in a world like this and you've been taught, you've been raised with a certain, a semi-permanent sense of values, in some cases permanent sense of values, and then everywhere you go, the rules not only are changed, but they can be changed. The rules can be changed. And you become used to the idea that nothing is fixed. There's no fixed position in life. It is what it is for the time being, and everybody adjusts to that way of thinking. I do what I have to do to get by. If I get by, then that's how it's supposed to work. It's a very scary time. And, you know, psychologically, we accept the validity of this idea. If a thing is not helping us get to where we want to go, we are now at the point where we start blaming ourselves. It's not the values. It's not that these values can change at any moment. The rules are so different. And you do what you think you need to do. Everybody is doing it to get by. And we now have more and more of the world slipping into this space. There are no set values. There's no set morality. There's no set way of doing anything. And you make your own rules. If you can do that, then that's the new norm. The new norm is you're free to do whatever it is you can do or you see that you have to do to get what you want. It's a very scary time. And that in part explains why we accept Donald Trump. We know everything he says. Everything he says should be questioned. Practically nothing he says is to be accepted as is. But still, in this world that we're living in, it is acceptable to have someone like that as a leader. I am the country. I am the power. I am crazy, but you will accept that. Why? Because along with this incredible insanity, we see how they get along. We see how they just bend the rules to the extreme and make the unacceptable acceptable. They pay no price. We don't see them paying a penalty for breaking rules because there are no rules. You make your rules. And there's a whole new set of rules about rules. Everything tells us, everything tells us he's lying every time he opens his mouth and has been since the day he took office and before that. But we accept that he's allowed to do that because there's something else that is within him that we don't have. And therefore, that makes him a leader. It makes us not. We are not leaders. We can't lie. We can't deceive. We can't just make things up out of the air. But he can do that. And the normally sensible, well-grounded people will come to accept that and would defend his right to be deceitful, to lie, to do all manner of anti-human things. And we find ourselves saying, well, you know, you have to look at it this way. He sees things that we can't see because he's special. And now we must learn to accept a person like that, accept the things he does, because we don't know anymore what is acceptable for us and for the whole country. That's a really strange thing. It's very deep, though. There was a time when a nation operating on these precepts would be a nation on fire, because they simply would not accept these kinds of behaviors. They wouldn't accept what this kind of power is demanding that we do accept. So we don't have a fighting spirit anymore. We rationalize and we say, well, you know, I don't like it. But I could see his point. I don't like it. But I see where he's trying to go. But I don't like it. But I can see that at least I'm not one of the people who would be penalized. So I'll stay quiet, mind my business, and pray that things will, you know, as the song says, that Jesus gonna get here. And he will get here soon. So let's return to where we are as a nation, and what are the values? It's a weird thing to use this word, because you can debate that there are no such things as fixed values anymore. We are in a world in which everything is negotiable. Your honor, your sincerity, that of your family and friends. We are in the process of deep surrender. And we know we're surrendering because we're not fighting. We're not resisting, so we're surrendering. But we talk as if we're in good shape. So how can we take this strange anomaly that we're experiencing at this time? Are we aware of the change that we're going through? Are we aware that we, in many ways, have surrendered as a society? That we're lying to ourselves in order not to have to confront the truth? We surrender. Could you think of a time when, no matter what the social caste you belong to, that you would accept under the extreme acts of slavery and racial dominance what is happening to children in this country? Even when people were enslaved, they found it unacceptable that children should be abused the way they are, or people should have their rights taken away the way they are taken away by a system, or that we don't need to debate the justice of racial inequality. We don't need to debate that. but now we have acceptance. And we try to call it something else. We're trying to figure out what else we can call it so that we can fool ourselves and go along to get along. Am I making sense? Am I getting to the point here? We lost two very dedicated Congress members within a week. And as a nation, it was more important to take in the visual of things. The ripe flowers were there. The military honors that accompanied their caskets. We talk about them, but not in the context of us. You see, they were individuals, and they were spoken of that way. Their personal achievements. A lot of emphasis on the symbolism of their individual achievements. But we didn't hear about Elijah Cummings. We didn't hear about Elijah Cummings, the warrior, fighting for everybody. That was not a central theme. What we were told about him was very symbolic, and that's just it. It was symbolic. He was being praised by the people he had to fight. And at the same time, keep us in line. Help to keep us in line. He could fight, we could not. He could do certain things individually because he earned that right by being elected to Congress. But we dare not mistake all of us that we are Elijah Cummings. He was all of us, we're all of him. There was no such kind of reference. And so we go on, and we have joined the enemy, John Conyers, the longest-serving African-American in Congress, dies at age 90. But we didn't hear about John Conyers as a warrior. We heard about him in very polite, hushed, polite terms. We heard of how well he dressed. We didn't get descriptions and the details of a full-on battle with Conyers representing the people against a system. Yeah, they were great men and all of that, but they were different. They're not of us. And yet there are many of their traits that we should emulate. But we're getting the signals from that system that they've dealt with them already, and now they're gone. So let's see what's next. very, very strange kind of time to be in. All right. We take a break, and we're going to come back to your thoughts right after this.
Please, better than the way I found it was. Jesus gonna be here. He's gonna be here soon. Jesus gonna be here. Gonna be here soon.
Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Retrice Lead, and we're taking your calls at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. It sounds a little esoteric what we're talking about today, but it's important because life is going on. We have less and less to do with it. And yet we still are encouraged to believe that it is not so, that we are part of a whole and altogether removing altogether. You're on the air. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay, you usually say my name.
Yes, I should explain what is going on. I'm utilizing a different method for today as we pay attention to sprucing up some technical things, but we're getting to it, and this is just a temporary way of us doing the program. So, my aunt,
yes,
go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much. I think you have something in terms of what you were saying at the beginning, and if we're not, if somehow we can hold on to our principles, we certainly see what you're describing is all around us, you know, people that we thought to be friends and acquaintances, we're seeing all kinds of bizarre and strange behaviors, so I think you got something there. But if I could finish up the points I was trying to make yesterday about your question around this raid. First of all, you really got it when you say that every time he opens his mouth, you know, it's a lie or some sort of a fantastical phantasma. Because when reporters asked the head of the chief of staffs, I think it's Mike Milley, and also the secretary of Department of Defense, they might as well call it the Department of War more accurately, they had no idea of how Donald Trump knew that al-Baghdadi was whimpering and crying. First of all, there's no audio. And secondly, anybody who straps on a suicide vest and is willing to detonate, they're usually thinking they go into some sort of glory in terms of that mindset. So that was all nonsensical. Another point I want to make is that it's interesting that he had to thank the Kurds, although somehow Russia was the first one there, which is kind of bizarre. But the Kurds who were abandoned and betrayed, they continue to cooperate, as I understand, because they actually, to the last, they actually, you know, helped with pinning down Baghdadi's location. So it's just, all of this is just so stunning. But also, too, one of the things that you're not going to be hearing about in the mainstream or most media is how ISIS, ISIL, Daesh, Al-Qaeda, how they even came about. If you recall, before September 11th, 01, you had never heard of those groups. Those groups were a direct result of the global George Bush's global war on terror. And what if we look at it with any degree of perception, was an event that happened on September 11th, 2001, that just, you know, that is not what they told us it was. I mean, those so-called alleged 19 Muslims, they did not have any technology and any way to put any technology in place that brought those buildings down and the show that they gave us at the Pentagon, et cetera, et cetera. And as to my last point around this is that as to what happened, that's a good question, because if you think about it, about Osama bin Laden, can we believe that he was taken down in 2011? I don't think so, because if you recall, Madeleine Albright, she was the former Secretary of State, and another high-level male person who I'm blanking on his name, but some years before 2011, they actually came out and they said that Osama bin Laden was dead. If you recall, he had Marfan's disease, I think it's called, very serious, severe kidney situation. And during that event of September 11th, 01, he was in the hospital being visited by some U.S. personnel. I can't remember all the details now. But that's the same Osama bin Laden that we saw in different videos as different people. And who was Tim Osman as a CIA asset, you see. So,
but, you know, I don't want to get too deep in that part, because we really don't know. There are lots of facts, as they would like us to believe them to be. There are lots of pieces of knowledge out there, and we really don't know how they.
But when you say we don't know, there's certain things that we know that. Okay, so if they tell you the impossible happened, okay, then that means that you're not being told the truth. Okay, and it's true that he was known as Tim Osman, a CIA asset. When we saw the different videos, you remember one video was with a dark-skinned Osama bin Laden?
Yes, but,
I mean, there's certain things that it's true that we don't know.
But that was all part of a whole other plan, a whole other parallel existence. And so we cannot place much credibility in what we were told. We just can't. And we have to accept that we probably will never know the truth of certain things, because people who really understand how these things are done were the ones in charge of it. So the reality that they presented us, the narratives that they created and presented us, we should have little or no trust in it.
Well, I agree with that. As Donald Trump said himself, it was like watching a movie, and David Icke put it in that way, in that they have us watching a movie, okay? And poor Donald Trump, he never heard, and I think it probably goes back to ancient Kemet, what the old saw, talk low, talk slow, and don't talk too much.
That's a very good axiom. And we should all abide by that. Now, there is truth in that. Don't lend your brain to other people's plans for you. We can't do it. We listen to what they're saying and so forth. We have no way of proving definitively what the truth is. We have no way, because they've manufactured the truth.
Got that right.
And they've said, here's what you must believe. Like they said, al-Baghdadi was buried at sea in the same way
Osama bin Laden was
buried at sea.
Or did that, what, did al-Baghdadi buried at sea also?
Yes. That's what they
said. I hadn't heard that yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he was
That's the same
the
story
full
with
right.
Osama.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They were given the full burial rights as Muslims, as devout Muslims. And we don't know the truth of any of this. And our position should be, for our own defense purposes, just to keep all of that information at a distance. We look at it every now and then, but then we put it back in the box and leave it there until we are prepared, because we have access to a whole lot of different information to reinspect the issue. But until then, believe nothing that comes out.
Excuse me.
But thank you for getting us started today, Ma'at. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hello, you're on the air. You're listening to Lead Stories. I'm not hearing you. Okay. Well, that's the point. The point is that we have, in any event, no matter how you look at it, the only people you can rely on, really, the only person you can rely on is yourself. You can rely on that. But they work so hard to erode confidence, even in that, that you can't trust yourself about yourself. Many of the subjects that we have discussed on the program are from a common sense point of view. And you can see the logic of the reasoning. It makes sense. We're not presenting clinical evidence, and, you know, we're not in that business. We're in the business of developing ways in which we can relate to each other and have a basis for operating jointly on particular issues with a belief system informed by reasonably intelligent ways of thinking. But we can't swear about that either. We just have to go along and do the best we can. You're on the air. See, I can't see
Hello?
My screen. Yes, you're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Because I didn't hear any introduction of me being on the line.
I know,
but,
saying that we're
I heard.
Let me just finish that. We're operating at a slight deficit today because we're trying to get some technical things in order. So
okay.
we're hanging in there with it. And who's calling?
This is Vincent from New York.
Hello, Vincent. Let's hear your point.
Well, I caught a bit of what you started out discussing or stating in regards to people not having much faith or having a different understanding of what they believe in, or confusion on what they believe in currently. If they feel what they're seeing within the society that they engage in or in their surroundings is not in accordance to what they believe in, or is in balance to how things in nature they interact with are unbalanced, well, it has to come to a point to their understanding. They might have to look within themselves and see that they must take time to see how they can balance things out from their perspective without any help from anyone else at that time. That's a point where they might have to do some looking within themselves, where some might say introspection, and try to understand what they dealt with in the past and were told to what they are dealing with currently in reality within their life. Some might say do for self. And within your spiritual beliefs, you must try to possibly do for self in the most positive way that you can from where you are, and hope that others will try to pick up the slack or contribute to your positive initiatives from their belief. Because just espousing your belief without showing it through action might not be good enough for those who even espouse their belief to self-motivate you. Now is the time to take that self-initiative, and don't expect to get a pat on the back, a spiritual upliftment from those who motivated you in the past, but from those you might have helped from that point forward might be your reward.
Okay, you're sounding like a prophet yourself. So give us a working example. Translate what you just said, because I think heading somewhere here with your point. Give us an idea of how you interpret that very statement as it applies to yourself and as it applies to the rest of us.
Well, I don't know if those who are listening are new listeners or old listeners or not even listening anymore. They might listen later. As I go about my day and I see things that seem might be unjust, or mainly just plainly ignored, I do the little bit that I can to help out those who are being abandoned or ignored openly in society, and just don't try to do it in a way just to be praised or talked about from a positive perspective, but to do that little bit and hope it can help that person for that moment in time to make it through another day. And maybe as I go about my day safely, I can do it again. And that helps me at times when I might be feeling a little down because I felt I probably wanted to do more and couldn't, even for myself. I just don't try to focus on so much of the negative things that are going on. If I might see it and can do something, I'll try. But I focus on the positive from the past to push towards the future if I can see something shining ahead. And if I don't, I wait for the sun to rise within my mind and eyes to continue on.
In practical application to life in the day-to-day world, how are you feeling about your power to do what you want to do? Because it's a good thing. Or your ability to see things as you understand the intricate details of things. that you're operating differently in this world?
Well, if you feel or some feel that I might see things differently, maybe I do. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
We have our own eye. Go ahead.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. But are you conscious of it?
Conscious that I see things differently?
Yes.
Well, it depends on what you and I and those others are focused on in the conversation. It depends on specifically what you're referring to and what I'm referring to. As you and I engage in this conversation, it depends on what particularly that you're seeing differently than I'm seeing differently. You might see it from one perspective that you're talking about from wherever you might be, from one way, and I might see it from another. And we try to deal with that subject that we discuss of what we're looking at from our point of view. I hope from the most positive way possible.
Yes, yes. But do you see yourself as being as aware as an individual? It means that you are an agent of change in your own community and in the world. Do you see that still being intact, that you have that power still? Or do you see that to a large degree there are forces working to erode any possible good force you may have, good influence you may have within your world?
Well, it depends on what you mean, my world, in comparison to your world or the world of the listeners to our conversation.
I think everybody, don't you, to some degree, we have a consciousness that we're living in several worlds at the same time, and we're managing our lives in these different worlds the best way we can. Although we don't live, we're not conscious of the fact that, well, I'm in this world now, and when I'm home, there's another world. And when I go to church or mosque, there's another world. But we are really, you know, we are bouncing in and out of different worlds all at the same time, each having their own demands if we are to be participating fully in these worlds. Are you confident that you're navigating your worlds, plural, as best you can, and that you have the ability to create change, beneficial change, in each of these worlds as you go along?
Well, if you feel that you can, possibly I feel I can.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one world. There are different experiences within this world that we live in. And I'm talking among the physical living. We have different experiences within the society we interact with, from what we bring, from where we came from, in a different part of this planet. So you might be on one part of the globe, I might be on another part. And as you travel and you interact with people, you get different experiences. And those experiences shape your mind and your way of life as you go forward. And you try to bring the positive experiences from your most recent and distant past with you to continue on.
Do you feel that
that's
you
in part
do
how
that?
I feel.
Do you feel that you do that every day? In one way or the other, that you are bringing yourself, and that means you're bringing all of yourself, all the different compartments of yourself, to another person or an organization or whatever it is you're doing, and that that is what has integrity, that is what's worth defending and fighting for.
While I wouldn't try to answer that question completely right now, but what I would say is, in part, I try to bring the spirit of myself with me, because everyone does, in the most positive sense, wherever I go. And my life experiences with me in the most positive sense, wherever I go.
All right, well,
and try to leave the most positive impact when I leave from what I experience.
Well, we have to leave it there for today. But thank you very much for allowing us to understand the issue as you see it. Thank you so much for contributing. And thank you for being patient. We'll back again. We'll be back again tomorrow with each other.
Jesus,
and I'm looking forward to it. Bye-bye.
He's going to be here soon. He's going to cover us up with leaves and a blanket from the moon, with a promise and a vow and a lullaby for my brow. Jesus gonna be here. He's gonna be here soon. I'm not gonna do nothing. I don't have to shout. Got me no reason, and I got no doubt. I'm gonna get myself on front from this mortal corner of wood. Jesus gonna be here, gonna be here soon. Keep my eyes wide open. I can see my Lord. Gonna watch the horizon for a brand new Ford. I can hear him rolling on down the lane, saying, Hollywood, be thy name. Jesus gonna be here. Gonna be here soon. Got to keep myself faithful.